My message title, as I said, is Sold Out to Serve. As we go through this passage, we want to look at Joshua and what God told him to do. But these are the two key verses that I want you to think about as we go through this message this morning. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That is quite a promise from God. So we want to turn this morning and look in Joshua chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 18. And I've asked Gene and Mary if they come up, and they're going to tag team in reading that passage. And as they come up, would y'all please stand for the reading of the word?
Okay, this is Joshua 1, 1 through 18. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites.
I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea, that is, the Mediterranean. On the west.
No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them.
Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people.
Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said,
remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in that land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of you of your brothers. You are to help your brothers
until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go.
Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
Let's bow our heads for prayer before we start.
Don't quit. Father in heaven, this morning, we turn our hearts to you in a way this morning that's special. God, we turn our thoughts to you in a corporate way this morning. Dear Lord, we're going to take a passage out of the old dispensation, and we want to learn some of the principles that you have in there for us that we can apply to our lives today. Would you bless your word as it goes forth from here? In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. What if you would be the person that you thought your grandpa or your grandma or maybe your aunt or your uncle or some old friend was? What if you could be that kind of a person today as you live your life? And when I say the kind of person that you thought this figure was that you looked up to, I say that because man will so often disappoint us. So often we follow someone and we become disillusioned when something happens that they let us down. And that can be even in our very own families. Maybe an uncle or a great uncle or an aunt that we thought were really an outstanding person for Christ. But maybe it's even after they're dead and gone, you find out things that their life really didn't match up the way you thought it did. But yet, God still puts people in our lives, and that we could take those people and see what we thought they were and how they serve Christ, and we can model our life after Christ because of the influence of those people. I've had people in my life like that, and I think we all do. But if we could be that person that we think that some other godly person really is, how would that look? We refer to this verse towards the end of the message, so we won't turn to it now, but I just want to read it to get your mind thinking about it. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and it says, and this is in the King James, it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." If we could somehow, brothers and sisters, this morning, get that in our mind and get that in our hearts, that one verse, our lives, we would be on top of things. Because there is nothing that could get us down. There's nothing that could discourage us. Because every thought, we'd bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Obedience to Christ, no matter what. If we know that God said it, we're just going to do it. And we're going to leave the results up to Him. How would that be if we could somehow perfect that verse, that one verse in our lives? As I was studying this week and thinking of how we can serve, what it means to be sold out to Jesus Christ, I was thinking of, this came to mind, is like, we need to do the right things because it is the right thing to do. But we will not sustain that kind of a something long term. We need to be sold out to pleasing God or to loving God in all that we do, and that will cause us to do right. If we're totally sold out, meaning our life, we've given ourselves completely to Him, we've repented of everything that would hold us back, and we give no holds barred ourselves completely to Christ, we will do right. So going in our story of Joshua, and I'm probably going to be sharing on this in several weeks again. I want to go towards the last part of Joshua. But this morning, mainly we're focusing on the first chapter here and how the Lord, He spoke to Joshua. He took over where Moses left off after Moses died. But the Lord spoke to Joshua. Joshua listened. And by him listening means that he believed. And by him believing means he acted on what God told him to do. He was willing to obey even without knowing how the results were going to end. Except that God said, "I will give you this land. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this." Joshua was willing, if God said it, to do it. And this, as I mentioned before, this is in the Old Testament. This is under the old dispensation. But in this example, it's no different for us today under the new dispensation, under grace. And that is that God will still do what He said He will do. And there's not a one of us here that does not want to live a full life, a successful life. In our scripture here, in verse 9 there, it says about having, or in verse 8, about being prosperous and being successful. That perks up our ears. We love those words. And God's word for that even is for us today. And I'm not here this morning going to preach a health and wealth gospel, because I know that what we think of being prosperous and being successful can be two different things. Depends on what glasses we're looking through, as far as if we're looking at it through the world's eyes or looking at it through God's eyes. But we want to learn from Joshua this morning and how we can apply some of the things that God spoke to him and how God gave him victory, and how we can have some of those same things as we apply God's principles in our lives. And I want to look down here. Thank you, Gene and Mary, for reading that this morning. But verse 5, God told Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And if you're here this morning and you're struggling, if you're here this morning and you've had a hard week, you're facing things that maybe no one else even knows about, but as one of God's people, as a person that is committed to Jesus Christ, we can claim these words that He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And then He goes on in verse 6, God continues on, it says, "Be strong and courageous." And it says, "Because I will lead you." Then in verse 7, He repeats Himself again. He tells Joshua, the Lord tells Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous." But He goes on to say, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left, that you may be successful." And this is one of those verses that we can name it, we can claim it. But this is one of those verses that we can look at, and even there's verses in the New Testament that, as I shared already before, that we'll take one verse and we'll claim one verse as our verse. But then things don't happen accordingly the way God promised us in that one verse. And what we have to realize is that as we go back in Scripture and we find that one verse, that if we look back to the verse prior to that, or maybe to the verse after that, or maybe several verses prior or after, is that there's some other things that are mentioned that God tells us in His Word. And so we've taken one verse and we want to name and claim that one verse, but we haven't taken what's before it, because there's some prerequisites so often in God, what He tells us to do and what He promises that He will do for us. There are some things that have to take place because He cannot lie. And so we have to be careful. And the one thing we have to remember is that when God's Word was first put down in written form, there wasn't chapters and verses. It was done later, to chapters and verses, for us to be able to find certain passages. Imagine how that would be if we couldn't tell you the book and the chapter and the verse. So the downside of that is sometimes we'll pull one verse out and we'll use that as our verse, but there's actually a verse before that that we should have looked at and that we need to look at in order for that verse that we claim to be complete. But anyhow, God said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." But then He went on to say that you be careful that you do everything that I told you. Then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. And again, He told him there in the last part of verse 8, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And each one of us, brothers and sisters, we know that. We know that as believers. We know that in our minds, in our hearts, that God will be with us, that God is there for us. But we have to be reminded, don't we? There's so many times that things come in and they crowd around us and we feel all alone. And it doesn't feel that God is very close. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God will be with you. He is there. He is right beside us. But somehow we need to keep encouraging each other and to let others know and to recognize when they're having a bad day, when they're having a bad week, when they're struggling with issues that maybe have nothing to do with them, but somehow they're involved in it, to where we recognize that and we're involved in people's lives, that we can speak into their light and to say, you're not alone. And it's like, well, oh, wow. How did you know? How did you know I was struggling? Well, it's because I'm your brother. And so many times, I miss those opportunities. There's some of you sitting out there that are way more keen in those areas than I am and in what some others are. But that we cultivate that to recognize and to see and to find out what's going on in each other's lives in order that we can pray for them in an intelligent way. And then also when we see struggles, we see things they're facing, that we can go to them and say, you're not alone. Keep walking. The Lord will never forsake you. He will always be with you. Verse 11, Joshua said, in 3 days, we're going to cross the Jordan. You know, and I read that when I was studying. I read that, and I was like, yeah, that's what, it's there. But as I was looking this morning, it just hit me. It said, in 3 days, you will cross the Jordan. They didn't have a DOT back then that was able to build, that built bridges. There was no bridge. And there was a lot of people that were going to have to be crossing this river. And it wasn't a creek. So this was monumental to say, in 3 days, you will cross the Jordan. It's like, oh, okay, well, let's go eat breakfast. Imagine what went through the people's minds. Like, either Joshua is crazy, or else God's got a plan in mind. This morning, what is your Jordan? Every one of us, we face these Jordan rivers. When we look out across the water, we know we need to get to the other side. We have no idea how we're going to get there. But are we willing, when we face those moments, we face those times, to say, God, I'm yours. I'm going to trust you even to the point where I'm going to step into the water if that's what you're telling me to. And that water, I don't know what it's going to do, but you said for me to do it. That's faith. And that's what they did here. And we won't get into that this morning. Down in verse 14, I thought it was of note. It says, your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. The ladies and the children were to stay. It says, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. And that last part there caught my attention. You are to help your brothers. Brothers and sisters, that has not changed from then until now. God, I think, is telling each one of us this morning that you are to help your brothers. And you can't help your brothers if you don't know what's going on in their life. And so that's why it's so important that we involve ourselves in each other. We involve ourselves in what's happening. And that's why so often maybe the ladies have a much better grip on these things, because they do have these little coffee times at Starbucks around the little round table. And they talk about all these little details that us men, we don't really worry about because we're out conquering the world. But maybe we'd do good to spend some of these times and to find out more what's going on in our brother's life. Drop down to verse 16. This is the Israelites' response. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. This was after Joshua told them that in 3 days you will be crossing the Jordan River. So this was not just one small step of faith that they were going out on. This was huge. But notice, what they said. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, verse 17, so we will obey you. Whatever you may command them, only may the Lord your God be with you just as he was with Moses. They were willing, brothers and sisters, to obey without understanding. They were willing to say, as long as you follow God, I'm with you. Each one of us sitting here this morning, we have people in our lives that we have to obey. We have to submit to them. Whether it's at work, whether it's on the highway driving the speed limit, whether it's at home, whether it's children obeying their parents. There's so many avenues. And the scary part here, brothers and sisters, is it's talking in the context of Joshua being a leader of these multitudes of people. And they're turning to him and say, we will follow you. And that scares me, brothers and sisters, for the responsibility that God has put on us here as leaders. To be there to lead and to give you correct direction. And for me to stand up here and say, if you follow me and do what I tell you to do, I know that you will be on the right track. That's what Paul did. A tremendous, tremendous responsibility. Do you understand why we need your prayers? Wives, do you understand why your husbands need your prayers? Children, young teens, do you understand why your parents need your prayers? Because God has put on each one of us responsibilities that we are to obey, and that is even to obey without understanding. So many times we think that if I understand, that's when I'm obligated to obey. The Bible does not say that. And the only qualification in this would be that when you are asked to do something by an authority of yours that is wrong or is sinful or immoral, you don't do it. Period. But you know, it feels good to understand. It feels good to know why I have to do something. It does. Every one of us likes that. But I think sometimes we make that out to be the most important thing, is that my understanding is paramount and primary before I obey. Scripture doesn't teach that. Scripture teaches us that if we know what we're to do, that we do it without even understanding. And in Proverbs, I thought it was interesting, there's two places in Proverbs where it actually says the exact same verse, two chapters apart. And it says that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. And I think that each one of us have faced those times that we took it on our own and we did what we thought was right in our eyes, and we went against someone who was an authority over us, went over someone who had our best interest in mind. And it led to death in that situation. It didn't turn out good. I've had that happen with employees to where I know how this needs to be done. And it doesn't mean that we can't learn. Each one of us, we're never old enough that we can't learn again. But I've had already where you might tell a new employee, okay, this is how we do this, and this is exactly, and we do this, and this, and then this, and then this, and then this, as we build this cabinet. And sometimes it doesn't make sense, and you might have an employee that will, after you've detailed explanation to him, they will go ahead and do it the way they think it should be done, and they get done with it, and they've totally messed it up. Because they thought that my idea was not right, and that theirs was better. We all do that. But how can we get to the point to where we fully trust those that speak as an authority and to say, I will trust you. Whatever you say, I will do. Only may God be with you, and that you trust God completely as you walk your life. Verse 18 says, whoever rebels against your word, and this is again the Israelites talking to Joshua, and does not obey your words, whatever you command them will be put to death. Boy, aren't you glad we're not living under the New Testament law today. I don't know, maybe none of us would be here, including myself. But isn't it interesting what it says right after that? Last words there in verse 18. Only be strong and courageous. And that's my message to each one of you leaders. Each one of you are leaders, no matter who you are. We have responsibilities. And that would be my message to you is be strong and be courageous. And that does not mean that you're cocky or that you're arrogant, but that you recognize the task that you have of being a leader, of instructing, of giving commands. And then to recognize that you are working under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that as you're recognizing and working under the authority of Jesus Christ, then you will in turn entreat people and you will have people, ask people to respond in certain ways based on how Christ is teaching you. And then we have a responsibility that we listen and that we obey because we know that this is, as it were, coming from God. What's going on in your life this morning? You've got turmoils. You've got struggles. Each one of us have had or will have disappointments, hurts, things that didn't turn out the way that we wanted it to, things that are not turning out the way I wish they would. The situation can look hopeless. But are you willing this morning to sell out? To get on your knees and to say, God, I don't understand what's going on. It doesn't make a lick of sense. My life seems to be in shambles. There's things that are happening that I don't understand. But God, I'm yours. And I am bound and determined that I will follow you. Period. Let's fast forward to Joshua 22, and we won't even turn to that, but there's just a couple verses there. Joshua 1, God told Joshua what to do, and Joshua told the people what's going to be happening. And then you go through all the next chapters, and it goes through there of the victory after victory after victory and kings that Joshua and his army defeated. Just like it says, every promise that God made them was fulfilled. Fast forward to Joshua 22. After all these victories, after no promise had been delayed in coming. Verse 2 in Joshua 22 says, you have done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and you have obeyed me in everything I commanded. For a long time now, to this very day, you have not deserted your brothers, but you have carried out the mission the Lord your God gave you. Verse 4 says, now that the Lord your God has given you your brothers rest as promised. Notice the word, it said, the Lord your God has given you. It's not something that you did. Without God on your side and without God giving you the strength and the courage to be strong, you wouldn't have done it. Same way with your life today. There's nothing that we can do except from the strength that God gives us. From the courage that we can have from looking in His Word and saying, I know how the story ends, therefore I will not give up. But I thought it was interesting to note, here. Verse 5 in Joshua 22 says, "But be very careful to keep the commands of the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to obey his commands, and to hold fast to them, and to serve him with all your heart and soul." Do you think? Why was that verse in there? It's not even necessary. God gave them all these victories. God did all these things for them. They were able to physically see it for themselves, everything that happened firsthand. It wasn't something that they saw on CNN, but it was something that they had firsthand experience in seeing these victories that were won. Why would a verse like that be in there? It's because they were called humans. Sort of the same thing that you and I are. It seems like it doesn't matter how much God shows himself and how much God reveals himself and how many miracles God does and how many victories are won. Somehow we have that tendency to relapse. And somehow we have that tendency to think like the Barney Fife syndrome. Like, oh yeah. It's not you, brothers and sisters. It's not me. But it's only through Jesus Christ working and moving and dwelling through us daily. It's not a one-time experience. Then dropping down verse 18 in that chapter, it says, "If you rebel against the Lord today, tomorrow he will be angry with the whole community of Israel." And what I'm taking away from that, brothers and sisters, is I'm going to refute a statement that I hear people saying. And that is, well, what I'm doing doesn't affect you. It's none of your business. People think that they can sin, they can do these wrongs, and it's affecting only them. I know I'm going to go to hell for this, but it's not affecting anyone else. And that in itself is a terrible statement. It's a sign of a mind that is not thinking rightly. Because you would never say that if you would be thinking correctly. But I don't believe there's anything we can do, brothers and sisters, when we to sin and to think that it's only going to affect me, that it doesn't affect others. Our sin, our unbelief, it does affect others. We have a responsibility. We have an accountability to keep. Because in Joshua 23, he says, "But if you turn away," then in verse 16, he drops down there and says, "If you violate, you will quickly perish from the good life that God gave you." No questions asked. God made a statement that if you take, after all this I've done, and you've seen everything that's happened, and you turn away from it, I won't take that lightly. Brings a question. Is it true that God forgives and forgets? Or does God forgive and remember no more? Is there a difference between forgetting and remembering no more? God has the ability to do whatever he wants. He can. I don't know that God can forget because he's all powerful. But I think he does have the ability to remember no more. And we can even go in the New Testament and we can see where you do this, I will do this. But if you fall back, I will ring. God is a just God. Joshua 24. And maybe I can share more on that. But Elvin preached on this back in 09, I think it was. How many of y'all remember that? There's 16 times in about the first 14 verses that the word "I" are used. And what it is God talking and saying, "I've done this, I've done that." If it'd be anyone else but God doing that, you would be an arrogant person. I would be an arrogant person. But God said there, that I did this for you, and I did this for you. And he did. 100% truth. How many of y'all heard the statement, you didn't build that? How many of y'all heard that statement? How many of y'all don't listen to the news? That was Obama. President Obama made that statement and raised the ire of multitudes of people, because what he was saying was that these businesses that you Americans have built, you didn't do that. It was the government that aided you. And the people's response was, no, it was my blood, sweat, and tears. I'd venture to say that President Obama was more right than what we'd want to give him credit for. But not in the sense that he was saying it. But that is in the sense that it is God who built that. But how many times do we come so close to what the world is thinking and what the world, how they process things? And that is, we take pride and we take glory in these things that we have built. You didn't. I didn't. Except that God would give us the strength, and he gave us the courage to do it. We can't do anything on our own. We must never forget where we came from. And that's not in order that we can walk around and just be really humble. We must never forget where we came from, or how we came from where we came from. We have to recognize that whatever I am today, as one of God's children, whatever good that I could do, whatever good is done because of my life, it's not me. It's because of God and His Holy Spirit working and reigning and dwelling within me. Let us never forget that. Are you willing this morning to allow God to do what He said He would do and to be what He said He would be? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. I think Jeremy might have that where he can post that up there. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Boy, if we could live out that one verse, wouldn't it be great? But that's what we need to strive for. As we allow the Holy Spirit to work and to move and to fill us, that we don't let anything get in the way of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there anyone that have anything to share in closing then, of your commitment to God, your commitment to how you want to flesh out Christ's life? Anyone quickly? Not, let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, this morning we thank you again for your word. We thank you for these stories that we have in the Old Testament of how you worked and how you moved and how you miraculously took care of your people. God, as we think of Joshua and the victories that you granted him, would you help us to take courage as we look at that story and to know that you are still the same God today that will give us victories? The question is, will we allow you to fully move and to fully involve ourselves and to let you be in us completely? Are we willing to sell out completely to you? God, I pray that that would be the prayer of each one of us as we go through this next week to see what it is and to know what it is that you want us to do, even if it's just the very next step, but that we'd be willing and courageous to take that because we know that you, our God, have asked us to do that. Would you bless our time together this afternoon in our different homes? Make us be a blessing to those that we come in contact with. Be with each one of the small groups as they meet tonight. God, I pray that we could bless each other and be a blessing. Dismiss us from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.